The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Like Bob on Facebook at facebook.com/BobBurneyLive.
Oh, it is such a privilege and honor to have Dr. Ergun Kaner in the studio today. It's been a long time, Ergun.
Yes, sir.
But you don't get in Central Ohio very often anymore.
Not
even
really.
Though this is home.
It is. I hunger and long for White Castles. And living in Texas, there are none.
But you have Whataburgers.
Yeah, they just got bought out, by the way.
Yeah, I know. I heard that.
I don't even like to think about
that.
I heard that. The Texans are in mourning.
You know, yeah.
They're all wearing black armbands.
All right. From a Muslim background, you've written a wonderful authoritative book. Several, but I think for me the best, Unveiling Islam. Back in 2002, still in print. You can get it at Amazon. Oh, yeah. If you don't have it, get Unveiling Islam by Emer and Ergun Kaner. It is a classic. It really is. How concerned are you? And in turn, how concerned should we be about the growing influence of Islam here in America?
The whole thesis of everything we've ever written and everything we spoke about was real simple. The thesis was the Muslims who are doing what we see happening on the news are the devout ones. You do them no service to say they hijacked Islam. The bombers, the suicide bombers, the people who are fighting in Gaza, they are devout. If you question their devotion, you're questioning the Quran and the Hadith. So it shouldn't surprise us that the Muslims who are continuing now, a generation later, still fighting, still attacking, still doing what they do, they are devout. They are adherents to the teachings of Islam and the teachings of Muhammad. So, yeah, not only should we be concerned, but the silliness that our culture gives us of, oh, you know, it's Islam's been hijacked, it's a religion of peace. It's never been a religion of peace. For 1,300 years of history, Islam has never coexisted peacefully in a country where they were in a minority and never allowed freedom where they were in a majority, ever. In 1,300 years of history, you cannot point to one country or one place. So being surprised by this is ridiculous because it's ignorance on purpose.
All right. I have made a statement probably hundreds of times on this program, and I want to run it by you to see if I'm correct because I want to speak only truth. I have said repeatedly that right now, today, on planet Earth, there is not a single Muslim majority country where there is true religious liberty or freedom. Is that correct?
Absolutely true. And absolutely true. Sharia law does not allow, and Sharia law is the law of Muhammad. You know, the law of, it's like the Hadith is the constitution.
But shouldn't there be somewhere if we hear this in America all the time, well, American Muslims are moderate. Mm-hmm. Shouldn't there be a moderate Muslim country somewhere on the planet where there was religious liberty and freedom and where they understand what it's like to tolerate other religions?
You would hope and you would wish. I'll give you an example. Anwar Sadat shook hands with Menachem Begin.
Yes.
And the next thing you know, he's put to death. He's killed,
right?
Not by Jews, not by Christians, but by Muslims.
Yes.
Who say that he had betrayed the teachings. He had betrayed devotion to Allah.
Now, for a time, wasn't Turkey an exception to that? For a time?
Yes. After the fall of the Ottoman Empire, after World War I, the guy who rescued my country, by rescued, I mean there would be no Turkey if it were not for Kemal Atatürk. Kemal Atatürk was an atheist. He was not a Muslim. And to use his terminology, he put the mullahs in the mosque. You could not rule if you were a mullah. You could not rule if you were a religious leader. He divided it the way America, you know, said, this is where you have to allow for freedom.
So it was a majority Muslim country with a secular government.
It was for a very brief period of time. Yeah. Of course, the Muslim parties grow and Sharia law in the outskirts. If you go to Istanbul, yes. Outside of Istanbul, you get to other cities where no. Ankara, etc. No. They are Muslim ruled, Muslim led. Because again, it's the teachings. It's in the teachings. It is autocratic. It is dominion oriented.
So is it radical to say that the more Muslim influence there is in a country, historically, there will be less freedom?
Absolutely. 1,000%.
That's not radical.
It's not radical. It's 1,000% correct. Look, Winston Churchill was no evangelical. But Winston Churchill, in his histories of English-speaking peoples and in his teachings and writings in England itself during the lead-up to World War II, said Islam is an autocratic non-democracy. Its basis is Sharia law. And if a guy like him could look at it, Arnold Toynbee, they said, looking at Islam, it is a church state, meaning a mosque state.
Yeah.
It's not radical to say that. It is common sense, which is the problem, because we have no common sense.
And in American history, we go back to the Barbary pirates.
Our very first fight.
Yeah. Were Muslims. And
from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, our very first fight were the Barbary pirates. You've hit it. Our very first fight was against Sharia law, Muslims.
Yeah. So, Ergun, we're talking with Dr. Ergun Kaner, who comes from a background of Islam, converted to Christ as a teenager, but was raised in a Muslim family. Father died, a devout Muslim. What should be our attitude? Ergun, we have a constitution that promises religious freedom and liberty to anyone. Mm-hmm. That's what our constitution promises. Mm-hmm. So we are seeing the growing influence of Islam. We are seeing Muslim people elected to Congress for the first time. How are we to deal with this, particularly as Americans? But as Christians, how do we deal with this growing threat? We're not going to obviously take them out and shoot them.
No.
We would never do that. We believe in freedom. We believe in freedom of religion. So how do we deal with it?
We believe in freedom of religion, and they have every right to build mosques where they wish, where they own land. They have every right to worship whatever they want to worship, if it's Allah, Jehovah God, if you're a Mormon, etc. However, you have to join in our reindeer games. You cannot come to America and say, hey, we're here, but we're just going to keep over here in the corner. And you, everything you believe has to subsume under the American – it drives me crazy. People say, hey, America is such a panoply, such a mixed – no, it's not. America has a culture. America has – I'm an immigrant, right? I can't be president. I'm fine with that. But here's the rule. If you come to the country – like myself, learn the language, pay your taxes, love the people, shut your mouth. Stop. Stop acting like you're a victim. You're not a victim. Nobody is lining up to go to Afghanistan. But we are lining up to come to this country. So come, join, be part of it. But we're not a quilt. We're not pieces sewn together randomly. We are woven together.
Yeah.
So you got to be part of the American culture. You got to be part of the American experience and law.
And, of course, the liberal left says our strength is in our diversity, which is bogus.
Yeah.
There is no strength in diversity. There is strength in unity.
Right, right.
Assimilation. You probably know Columbus, Ohio has the second largest population of Somalis in America. Mm. Did you know that?
I didn't. No.
Columbus, Ohio, second largest. St. Paul, Minneapolis, number one. Columbus, Ohio is the second largest Somali population. And talk about a lack of assimilation. You know, and I think it's difficult to welcome, love, have compassion as followers of Christ. We must. But to understand, we got a ticking time bomb here,
right? And we have equal. America offers an equal opportunity, not equal results.
Yeah, equal outcome.
That's ridiculous. The idea that somehow a person who didn't succeed solely because they were from an immigrant background or they had trouble learning the language or they've trouble. America offers you every opportunity. I was educated for free. I went the reason I'm here for the weekend, 35th anniversary of the greatest high school that I could have possibly imagined. I was the only Muslim kid. Do you know how much I could be, you know, every time you turn on the TV, somebody's whining about being being persecuted and being
bullied,
etc. No, I had the greatest experience. They were the kindest, nicest white people I've ever been around in my life. And I am who I am because I was accepted. They were kind to me and they gave me every opportunity they had. It's ridiculous to sit there and go, oh, well, you know, your experience is any different. No, it's not. Otherwise, people wouldn't be coming here still.
Yeah. All right, we're talking with Dr. Ergun Kaner. We've got one more segment after this break. I'm just delighted that he can be with us. And we don't have a whole lot of time left, but if you have a question for Dr. Kaner, my number, 877-BOB-LIVE. Hey, I can talk all day. I've got all kinds of questions I want to ask, but I want to give you an opportunity as well. 877-262-5483. 877-262-5483.
Follow Bob on Twitter at twitter.com/BobBurneyLive.
We're talking with Dr. Ergun Kaner. Ergun, I am so torn on this because I am first and foremost a follower of Christ, so I'm to love everybody. I am also a red, white, blue American, and make no apologies for that. I'm a patriotic American, so I am deeply, deeply, deeply concerned about the growing influence of Islam here in America, deeply concerned about that. But at the same time, we can't send missionaries to most Muslim countries, but God is sending them here, you know? So how do we witness to Muslims? Because more and more in our listening audience will have a Muslim living next door.
Sure.
How do we, in fact, I've got a listener. I think he's going to ask basically the same question, but maybe better than I can. We're going to go to Joe in Columbus. Hey, Joe, welcome. You're on Bob Burney Live.
Thank you. And thank you, Dr. Kaner, for taking my question. I live in Northeast Columbus. There are Muslims in my neighborhood. I think many of them are Somali, but I'm sure there are others. In fact, there are several mosques very close to me. And my question is, what kind of things can I do to witness to them, to interact with them? I mean, I don't really rub shoulders with them that often, but there are some in my neighborhood. Should I invite them to my house? How do I pray for them? Those kinds of things.
Well, excellent question,
yeah,
Joe.
Joe, that's a great question. I'll give you the fastest answer, which is when you don't have a ton of time, the fastest and easiest way into somebody's life is to ask questions. Again, when I was in high school, I may look differently, dress differently. I worshipped on Fridays. They worship on Sundays. But I had kids that would say, why do you do that? Why do you wear that? Why do you guys use prayer rugs? Why do you do that? And everybody loves to talk about themselves. Everybody, mm-hmm. Every human being. And it was engaging to me. Socratic method, we call it. He asked the question, do I invite them to my house? Hospitality is huge in our culture. For instance, you couldn't, if you just hand them a Bible, there are Muslims who are devout, they won't touch it.
Sure.
They'll put their hands behind their back. If you ask for a Quran, however, they'll bring you the Quran. And at that moment, I tell them and then say, I will read your book. And you hand them, say, the Gospel of John, or you hand them a Bible and you say, if you will read mine. As an exchange, they have to. Again, hospitality is huge. Small steps.
All right. So ask them a lot of questions.
It works. It absolutely works, yes.
All right.
Because I'd rather talk to somebody than about somebody. Yeah.
All right. That help, Joe?
Yes, it does. So anything I can do as far as how to pray for them? I mean,
yeah, pray. Well, one, if you're speaking to a Muslim man, because you as a man, you know, like I said, there's no cross gender. I would pray that God just sets up the opportunities every time, every morning. Lord, give me a shot, give me a second, and then remind me you're doing it. You'll be amazed, because you would be amazed at how little they know about Christianity, and how little, all we ever knew about the church was what we learned in the mosque, which is ridiculous. I am telling you, it's you ask questions, you'll be amazed. Sometimes they will turn around and ask you.
That help, Joe?
Thanks very much. That's very helpful. Thank you.
Absolutely.
God bless.
Thank you, Joe. Putting a track on their front door would probably not be real effective.
No, and like, say, if I go to the door and a Muslim woman comes to the door and I start sharing the gospel, well, I've either insulted her husband or dishonored her father.
Right.
I tell them there's times to speak and there's times to listen. Be very, very, very cautious in that. But Muhammad said this in the hadith: if a man does not defend what he believes, he doesn't believe it. So our American culture, we're so shy. You come to our side of the world and touch something in a souk, open bazaar, we will chase you to the bus to get you to buy it. We will yell at you. My friend, come for you.
Been there, right? Done that.
For you. Don't tell anybody. 20 denarii. Well, if we yell like that over sales, we yell like that about everything.
Yeah.
And don't be dissuaded by that. Just engage.
All right, real quick. Tell us about the resources that you have, Unveiling Islam, the Encyclopedia of World Religions.
Yeah, we
tell
just
tell us about that.
Encyclopedia of World Religions was an idea by Wayne House, and so it's we have the first one's called the Encyclopedia, Popular Encyclopedia of Apologetics, which has been my, other than Unveiling, it's been my best selling book. This one we submitted articles, so we wrote articles for every world religion and every cult, and it literally just it came out. Last Christmas, and it's been doing very well.
Now, not to confuse people, because you said just a little bit ago you haven't written lately.
No.
You finished your part on this several years ago.
Oh, yeah. I write and meet my deadlines. And one of the reasons why I keep getting – we've done 24 books, and I've been blessed, but I'm not a good writer. I'm just an efficient writer. I get it done on time.
Okay. The Encyclopedia of World Religions, when will it be published?
It's out. It came out at Christmas.
It's out.
Yeah, it came out at Christmas, and it just hit – when you talk about those charts.
We have 1 minute, 60 seconds. What other resources would you recommend?
Anything written by Norman Geisler, I think is phenomenal when it comes to world religions and specifically on how to witness. I think Josh McDowell is untouchable. I think Josh McDowell is so good and so practical.
Yeah, he is. All right, we've been talking with Dr. Ergun Kaner. And again, I encourage you to get his book, Unveiling Islam. I bet 200,000 copies have sold?
Actually, yeah, it's closer to 300,000 now. Yeah.
And translated in how many languages?
11.
11 languages. When you and your brother wrote that, did you have any clue?
No. We signed away our rights so that—
Did you really?
Yeah, the money— The good thing is the royalties go to pay for these poor guys to translate it.
No kidding.
Yeah, so as many people who want to translate it into the language, it pays them to do so, a little bit of stipend, yeah.
So that's why you're not wearing a gold necklace around your neck.
Plus, it turned my neck green.
Dr. Ergun Kaner, get his book, Unveiling Islam, and check out his other resources as well. What a privilege to have you in the studio. Yeah. And your sweet wife, Trish, thank you for being here as well. It's just been wonderful. God bless you.
Over 2 decades, bro.
Yeah. All right. More Bobberty Live coming right up. Stay tuned.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.